Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Please be seated. I have no idea if I write sermons the way you're supposed to, or if there is actually a supposed to follow. Sometimes a sermon is just there. It flows from my pen, or it comes out through my fingers onto a computer without a problem. Sometimes I get a little nervous, wondering where it's going to come from, or when it's ever going to come. This past week was one of those weeks. A week of, oh boy, Saturday's coming pretty soon. The sermon's not, but Saturday's coming pretty soon. Or, oh boy, Saturday's here. I've changed my mind too many times. Or the really bad one, oh boy, I hope Sunday doesn't arrive too soon. Partly, this week has been a difficult week for me to write a sermon because the Old Testament reading from Jeremiah resonated in my heart and my soul way too much than the gospel. My joy is gone. Grief is upon me. My heart is sick. I was just really emotionally tired this past week. The past number of weeks had sort of come to a head and had worn me out. Anniversaries of national terrors and loss from recent years and wrongdoings from decades ago had worn me out. Violence and destruction in countries that sometimes I have to do a Google search to even find on the map has just worn me out. The hope of a family finding their loved one alive one day was completely halted by the truth. The honest emotions of loss when elders in your community family pass away, and the anger when a young member of your family community dies because of a senseless act of someone else, I was just completely emotionally worn out. And the introvert in me was dreading having to go to the Episcopal Church of Minnesota's convention, which was Friday and Saturday, where I was going to have to be with a whole lot of people that I didn't really want to be with, I thought, or being with a whole lot of people that I didn't know, and my energy level, I just didn't have it. My joy is gone. Grief is upon me. My heart is sick. Hark the cry of my poor people from far and wide. And then I get to the gospel reading, which really sounds negative before you even finish the second stanza. I mean, really, this guy is going to cheat on his employer and then someone's going to turn it into a parable. Why do I get these Sundays? Really, people? So let me go backwards. Convention was absolutely, absolutely life-giving. Meeting new people was good. Getting to be with old friends and really appreciating life at just that moment was great. All four orders, our bishop, priests, deacons, and in my mind, the most important, laity, or those who are not ordained, part of the great church, they were all together. And we talked and we listened. We talked and we listened about racial discrimination, gender discrimination, and sexual orientation discrimination. And we were given a safe space to explore what frightened us about discrimination, and in particular, what really scared us about entering into racial reconciliation. What really scared us? We were asked to be fully present and to extend a welcome to others, and then to presume that an extended welcome was also being offered to us. And we got to talk and listen and hear and sing and pray with others. And when one of the guest speakers said, "What does it really mean to be a Christian?" And then the speaker answered with, "It means you get to love radically." At my small group table, I accidentally said, "Amen," in a really, maybe a little bit too loud of a voice. But in that safe space, no one stared at me like I was an absolute weirdo. And they all agreed. And they all said, "Amen," in concert to mine. And it was life-giving when the amazing guest speaker we had, who is a storyteller, told the story of Jesus being baptized by his cousin John in the river. And she did it in the first person, as a mom, just like me. And it became me, two children at my side, an elderly mother to care for, and a father-in-law who has just lost his spouse in tow. It was me. And in her words, I found myself being baptized all over again. I was soaking wet from being dunked in that river that she was describing. And then my children and my family were all dunked in the river, and I was just standing there, proud to be who I am, alive in the peace that I was feeling, being surrounded by others, others that weren't judging me, others that didn't really know me, others that didn't really look like me, some of them didn't speak like me, some had children, some didn't, some had elderly parents, some were single, but none of us were there by ourselves. But we were all wet, slowly drying in the sunlight that she was painting with her words, a church together, the body of Christ. But then I realized that the wet was really coming from tears on my cheeks, that for some reason I was crying because I was tired and I was happy and I was comfortable and I was surrounded by radical love. Later on in convention, the entire diocesan collective body celebrated 40 years of women being ordained in the Episcopal Church of America. September 16th, 1976, here in Minneapolis. The convention was held here that year. The convention added a new historic section to the church's ordination canons that read, "The provision of these canons for the admission of candidates and for the ordination to the three orders, bishop, priests, and deacons, shall be equally applicable to men and women." I was a senior in high school in 1976. Bill McCollum had dragged the majority of his acolytes down to convention. I remember it well. Yet never in my wildest dreams would I have imagined that 40 years later, I would have the honor of walking with other ordained women out of the diocesan convention hall to a standing ovation by peers of all four orders, so that we could go outside and get our photos taken. Doggone it, I was crying again. You have to understand, I'm Norwegian. My DNA says I'm not supposed to cry. God is good. Now, remember, I'm going backwards in my week. On Fridays, after I officiate at the 12:15 Eucharist, I usually walk around here, mill around, look up at the windows. I get to tidy things up. I look at numbers. It's part of my job. I'm the number cruncher. I reviewed the past week. This past week, we had six distinctly different liturgical gatherings other than the Sunday services. Contemplative prayer, noonday prayer, and Eucharists. Really, really sacred time for God's sacred people. And people were here filling that space. A safe space for listening, for praying, for sharing. Every week it's here for you. Again, remember I'm going backwards. Last Sunday, I got to go up to the junior high class. and introduce myself to the sixth through eighth graders. And there is absolutely nothing more beautiful than energetic faces and passionate, loving youth leaders to remind you that God is good. Then I went to the high school class. I didn't even make it into the room before I realized we're going to need a bigger youth room. Energy, joy for life, total cray-cray, crazy desire for learning with old and with new friends. And it honestly was not all about the donuts, even though I tell you the donuts are spectacular. It was about the new possibility. It's about the possibility of going forward and being in relationship with others. And you could feel it in the room. God is good. And then last Sunday, we had three liturgies, Rite 1, Rite 2, and Evensong, where over 400 people graced this holy space, some of them for the very first time. Again, I get to look at numbers. God is good. Yet last night, as I watched the amazing full moon rise up over the city, I was still wrestling with Luke 16. But I think when it comes around again in 3 years, I'll have a better handle on it. But what I realized last night was that I was no longer living in Jeremiah. My joy has returned. Grief is no longer holding me captive. My heart is not sick. I believe that God is good. I believe that life is like the parable in Luke 16, unpredictable. God is like that employer, not always following a set of rules set in stone, surprising us. I think the parable is reminding me, at least, that I need to look at things differently. I need to remember to occasionally hang upside down from the jungle gym instead of standing still and watching others do it. I need to listen. I need to rest in a safe space and presume that others are there with me, welcoming me. And I need to remember to love radically. And I need to remember that it's really, really okay to say amen as loud as I want to. Amen.